So the ascension. How do we explain the ascension? Like many things that are in the church, many of what we would call the mysteries of the church, and whenever we use the word mystery, we just really mean it's too hard to explain. But like many of the great mysteries within the church, the ascension is difficult to understand, but it becomes less difficult once we put it in its chronological place, its place in time and context, before we put it in its theological place. So I've said in the introduction that was read at the welcome of Mass that this ends the Easter period of the resurrection. So the ascension of our Lord really only makes sense if we understand what Easter is about. The death of Jesus is less complicated. His resurrection is a little less complicated because we know that after 3 days he rose from the dead. We know that he was seen by many people. But the ascension is more difficult because he wasn't seen by many people at that time. And so the four gospel accounts of the ascension, or the references to the ascension, they vary quite a bit, interestingly enough, depending on who they are talking to. So Luke's gospel and Luke's account of the ascension, you actually heard in the first reading that Marg read out for us, because Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and he gives a very accurate account of the event. But if you go to the Gospel, which we just heard, the account is different because it has the men going to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. In Luke's account, it appears to be that it was the Mount of Olives, which is looking over the Golden Gate, the eastern wall of the city of Jerusalem. Whereas Matthew has them going further and higher. Matthew's entire gospel goes further and higher. All of the main events in Matthew's gospel happen on going up. So it's natural for Matthew to drive home his point, as he writes, by having Jesus going up the mountain. Matthew's gospel parallels with a lot of Old Testament texts, because one of the driving forces of Matthew's gospel is to say that Jesus is the new Moses. Where Moses went, what Moses did, and what Moses said, Jesus has fulfilled and gone beyond. So he becomes, for Matthew, the new Moses, a very different outline in Luke and in Mark's gospel. So that might be the first thing to understand when I think about the ascension. I think the other thing is that, unfortunately, because of the language that's used, when people think, therefore, of heaven, that's heaven. Everybody looks up. And certainly the word ascension means to go up, yes. But I suspect it means more than anything that he was not seen anymore. His presence, his physical presence, wasn't there, because there's such an emphasis on his physical presence from the time of his resurrection until the time of his ascension. In one account, it's 40 days later. In one account, it's 3 days. One account, it's the same day as his resurrection. And if you go behind the Mount of Olives, or right on the top of the Mount of Olives, there's a small church there called the Church of the Ascension. It's almost in ruins. It's a bit of a shell, but it has a circular thing in the roof. You can tell I'm not an architect. And so it's open to the sky, which was Bellucci's design to say the ascension, it has to be a church that has no roof. So it only has a partial roof and then a big round dome missing. It's actually under the care of an Islamic family. Now, it's not considered one of the holy places. interestingly enough. I suppose if the Franciscans ever had possession of it, they would make it so. But it just highlights for us that the Ascension was difficult to understand throughout the history and the unfolding of our church. So let's look at the things that aren't difficult to understand when we talk about the Ascension. Well, firstly, it's the physical presence of Jesus. He is not there. But he is present. I love that opening prayer. Where the head has gone in glory, the body goes in hope. You are the body, you are the church. And that's where we're on the journey to. Where that is, I'm not really looking up at clouds, truly, because God is present among us. God is not defined to one place. And that's how I think it's best to understand the Ascension. Jesus, who was defined by time and place in his physical presence. If you're defined by time and place, you have limitations. So therefore, Jesus had limitations. And don't be all horrified. Oh, he's the Son of God, he had no limitations. He could not be in Galilee and he could and be in Jerusalem at the same time. He had limitations in his physical body, like we do. And when that is removed, but he is present. His presence has gone, his physical presence, but he is present. There are no limitations. And that is where we find God. See, I find that really easy to understand. It was probably easier for the disciples and the early church because so many of them physically saw him, would have touched him, ate with him, heard him. But we haven't had that. Yet we know that he is with us, yet we have not seen him. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I suppose that's why it's too hard for some people and they don't get God. We live with the mysteries of God and the bigness of God without trying to confine God by definition, by place, or by time. And if we can get that through our thick skulls, then the mysteries of the Ascension, the mysteries of the Trinity, these things have their place. They do not hold us back from our being with God because I can't quite fully understand it. He is with us. That's how the gospel finishes. I am with you until the end of time. How did Matthew's gospel begin? He will be born and you will call him Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. Matthew finishes his gospel the same way as he starts it. God with us. You want to understand where God is? Just look around you. You don't have to look to the heavens. That works for some people. But the presence of God, the glory of God, is in his people that we call the church, those who believe. That is the glory of God. And I love that beautiful saying that truly the glory of God is mankind fully alive. We become fully alive when we follow his commands and do as he did, which is we witness, we give example by peace, by love, by justice, and by truth. If we can get those things in our life, then the glory of God, which is the place of the Ascension, is being realized. Right here and now, you are getting a small taste of the glory of God on your journey to eternal life. Just a small taste. Because we are the body, and where the head has gone in glory, the body follows in hope.